This episode is brought to you by MyBookie.ag, the safest place to play.
Thrill Seekers! Old Billy Mordecai's Haunted Caribbean Cruise featuring Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray fame. And also featuring...
Comedian Gallagher, Dave Coulier, Big Hitta and the Monsters, WWE Superstar Virgil.
Oh, and by the way, Cisco's here. We found out he bought tickets. He's not like in like a band thing or anything, but... He's going to be here with you, alongside you on this haunted cruise. Do you like being scared while being in the middle of the ocean with obviously no radio contact to the Coast Guard? Thrill Seekers! We will have haunted water slides! And also a haunted ski slope. The pool will feature animatronic sharks to give you the willies while you hang out in the kid area so that you don't have to like really tread water. It'd be a shame if all of that vodka leached out of your veins. Thrill Seekers! Do you like colorful reefs and tranquil waters? Do you like dancing? Well, we have the Rocky Horror Picture Show soundtrack playing continuously for 24 hours. Come dance with us at the buffet featuring spooky items like chicken and hamburgers. As a warning, we will not have a very staffed wait staff. Unfortunately, we had to pay for all of the Draculas, so you're getting extra Draculas, but you're going to have to bust your own tables. Where we're going has lax drug laws, if that makes a difference. Thrill Seekers! You'll find both discovery and relaxation in our screaming booths. Yell into the pit of darkness as you find your despair. All of the beaches we will be visiting are mesmerizing, carefree, charming, intoxicating. We've dyed all of them red. Thrill Seekers, as we leave the island, notice all of the geriatrics with metal detectors combing the beach for your lost property. Thrill Seekers, do you have pets? Well, you're leaving them at home. Unfortunately, you're the only person that loves Mr. Snuggles. Thrill Seekers, do you like being woken up to in the middle of the night by screaming? Guess what? This is the cruise for you! Legendary Scream Queen Heather Langenkamp will scream at you at 3 o'clock in the morning over our PA system. That's to make sure you don't sleep past all the fun. Would you like to know your only escape is the depth of the ocean? Thrill Seekers, this is Billy Mordecai, inviting you to our Haunted Caribbean Cruise! And now, wheelbarrow full of dicks. It's spooky month!
Did I hear what?
Ah, shit.
Hello and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host Napier.
What's up?
And also, Travis Hulse is here, guys. Travis Hulse.
Dilly.
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Guys, we have one hell of a program to get to tonight. There's so much going on to discuss. Drunk.
What's up, buddy?
Hi.
You don't got a beverage ready for me?
Fuck you, Drunk. Drunk, are you a viewer of the television show Kevin Can Wait?
No.
I don't watch very much network television.
You see, Kevin James, he has a television show on right now.
Yeah,
called Kevin Can Wait.
I've seen the commercials.
And they
brought that broad back, so it's King of Queens too, right?
Well, he had a different wife for the first season of the show.
Right.
Killed that one.
Oh, she's dead?
Yeah. They started off season two, and they were just like, oh, yeah, it's a bummer. My wife died.
Moving on.
And so now he's married to the same bitch?
Well, I think they have a budding romance.
Gotcha.
It's, you know...
They're saying, they're- They're saying that they don't want to go the King of Queens route and that they're business partners, so they have a tumultuous relationship. But
they got one of the moonlighting things, Travis, with the will they or won't they? You know what I mean?
You have Pam and Jim from The Office, Dana Scully, and Fox Mulder.
It's a will they or won't they.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying, Drunk? They just killed that other wife.
Disregard
her.
I don't know. I never watched the show.
Gotcha.
I saw that they just kind of, and they didn't really discuss it either. They're just like, yeah, it's a bummer. My wife's dead. And they moved on.
They probably paid her a bunch of money to say, don't talk negative about this show or the experience of the fact that we killed your character off and said, fuck off.
Yeah, obviously so, Kevin James wasn't a fan, right? I mean, they're going to spin it. They're going to say, oh, yeah, well, we were running out of ideas. We needed to do something different. Probably didn't like that gal.
From the sounds of it, is that Leah Remini, she guest starred in one episode of season
Who's
one.
That? Who's that, Travis?
Leah Remini?
Who's that?
I think it's Remini. Who cares?
Leah Remini.
Yeah, the Scientology broad.
You made it sound extra Italian.
Demi Moore, I don't care.
Root beer?
No, it's root beer. Guest started one episode, their ratings like doubled or some shit, and they're like, oh, guess what we should probably do? Let's kill off this broad and bring this one back.
In the chat, Mshell says that they just kind of said, yeah, it's been a year since Mom died. That was it.
Wasn't that painful?
Hey, remember when your mom died? That sucked. Yeah.
Go to school.
Go to school. I'm a single dad now, so I got to do single dad things. You know, I don't have time for the CBS sitcoms.
Yeah, I don't really either.
Because now I've devoted my life to a new purpose, and it was what Napier showed me last night. Have you heard of Mukbang?
No.
Drugs? It's gross.
Is this some K-pop shit?
Napier came over yesterday, and he said, hey, Mike. I mean, like, we were planning on doing
so something. So he can show up on a Sunday, but not on a Monday?
Right.
Okay.
He says, hey, Mike, before we do anything, have you heard of mukbang? And I said, no, Napier, explain this to me.
It's some sort of tentacle porn or something?
No, Napier, explain mukbang to Drunk.
Okay, so a person could be a lady, could be a dude, could be a mix of either one, doesn't fucking matter. As long as they eat food at a camera and the microphone is pointed at their mouth while they eat.
It's just people eating food, Drunk. That's all it is.
That's the entire point.
Napier was showing me these and we were just getting more and more mad. I mean, you know, we try to do a thing here. We put stuff into it. And meanwhile, motherfuckers go get some In-N-Out burger and they sit there and they eat a couple of burgers and people watch them eat burgers. Got like 4 million views. 4 million
and
views.
They're not attractive.
They're not attractive people eating the food.
So do people get their jollies off on this? Or
I don't know. I don't think it's a sexual thing. But you know, I was telling Laura about it last night, and Laura's like, "Okay, show me this." And she just sits there and starts watching these videos. We're watching 25-minute mukbang videos of motherfuckers eating taquitos from 7-Eleven. Just sitting there watching them. Lady sitting in her car.
So is it purely like fast food and food from you get from out, or do people like make their own food too?
Well, I think I'm sure there's people making their own food too. That's probably a whole different thing. But the ones that I was watching was just people going and getting run-of-the-mill shit. Just like, nobody, hey, let's go get a whole bunch of Taco food. Bell and then eat the food. And then people can just watch us eat the food.
The point isn't to make food. The point is to eat food.
This sounds horrifying.
Are they at least like doing challenges like that?
$20 no, they're
for the
not
Taco
doing
Bell?
Anything other than just eating food.
And these are Americans?
These are American people. They're just sitting at a table eating food.
Oh, they're Americans, Japanese, Chinese, Koreans. It doesn't matter who's doing it. As long as you eat food, that's the point of the video.
What you're saying is there's no point of the video.
So we could come up with something that gets at least 4 million views of this.
See, that's the thing, is that we're thinking about it too much.
Yeah.
We're trying to, quote unquote, come up with something.
No, man, I already got it. It's just people wiping their own asses. You strap a GoPro to the back of the toilet, and you obviously have to be a standing wiper. You stand up.
Oh, you don't want to be a standing wiper, Travis. You mush the cheeks together.
They're standing wipers?
I'm a standing wiper.
What?
Are you really?
Yep.
I mean, do you keep your legs kind of at a distance so that you don't mush?
It doesn't mush. It doesn't mush.
What do you mean it doesn't mush?
You got to use a hand to help yourself out. You just keep it spread, you know, for the activity.
I mean, you're talking about like the last wipe before you're done, right?
No, full blown, baby.
You stand to do the initial wipe?
So are you a courtesy flusher too, or?
No, it's not. And to be completely clear, I don't mean like standing straight up, like great posture standing. I mean like pulling your ass up out of the toilet and, you know, maybe standing is not the right thing, but almost like a crouch, not a crouch even, just like a, you know, you're still kind of bent over.
Like a goalie stance.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, now let me ask you this. Are you a buncher or are you a folder?
Oh, I do not fold. Straight up bunch.
Straight up bunch?
Yep.
That's See, now, gross.
It's a bunch, a fold over, a wet wipe, and then a bunch and fold over.
See, Travis is somewhat of a unicorn because not only is he a stander, but he's also a buncher. He's a standing buncher. See, I've become somewhat of a hybrid. I fold at home, but like if I go to public places and I'm going to use that awful toilet paper, I found bunching the awful toilet paper makes it a little bit better. It's more
and do like you,
that shit that like, you could like see through.
Yeah.
But at home, this is my question. At home, do you do the fold over and wipe twice with the same thing? And then in public, you use the wad of paper once and toss it right away. So like at home, I try to get two uses out of every bunch.
What?
You
bunch at home with like the good toilet paper? You still bunch?
Yeah, totally bunch, man.
How do you do a second bunch though?
Well, you can fold
one bunch.
No, you gotta use enough where you bunch. You don't. You can tell when you like you're not using. You know, if your ass cheeks, I guess, are like covered in the shit somehow. I guess you know a bunch and a throw is one thing, but if you're doing a clean wipe, it's a bunch, then a fold over of the bunch, and then a cleanup.
Fold over of the bunch. I can't picture. I can't wrap my head around either. This.
I can't even wrap my head around the two uses for one piece of toilet paper myself.
No. I mean like a fold and then another fold.
No. It's a wipe and then immediately drop into the fucking toilet. That's what it is.
Oh, you're losing big money every year, buddy. I mean that's again, two uses out of a wad. You're saving a lot of cash. That's just like when you have that little sliver of soap left in the shower. You got to stick that to the new bar. And
I use liquid soap.
I've never thought to do that, Travis. I just usually when it gets down to a little sliver, I just do a bunch of lathering with my hands and.
Oh, and that's what my wife and I do too. To a certain point, and my wife, if there's like a decent sized sliver of soap, she'll just go get another bar. So you get that little sliver just sitting there in the shower, like. Getting, you know, like mushy. And
so you press it in there.
Yeah, you press it. You get that new bar. You got to get the bar wet.
See, that's innovative.
You smash that sliver right into the new bar.
I can get behind that.
So, Travis, what's the quality of the toilet paper you have at your house?
It varies between like a quilted Northern and an Angel Soft.
So the 3-ply, you get the 3-ply?
I guess I've never looked. It's at least 2, but probably 3.
The Quilted Northern 3-ply is the mad noise, and that's where it's at.
I switched
from bears to dogs, and I was using dogs for a really long time, but we've been buying the stuff from Sam's Club lately, and it doesn't have a mascot, but it's pretty good.
I use a lumberjack for a while.
You want to take one home, drunk? Try it out? No,
that'll give me a rusty butthole.
What do you use? What's your go-to?
Quilted Northern 3-ply. That's it. There is no other.
Are you a Duluth man? Have you heard of Duluth?
As a matter of fact.
Did you go to Duluth?
I am. The most comfortable pair of underwear I've ever had in my life is from the Duluth Trading
Company. How much that set you back? Like $27 for a pair of underwear?
Like $30, yeah.
I'll tell you, those Duluth people, they...
And the Armachillo t-shirt, oh my God, it's amazing.
It's like $37 for an undershirt.
Doesn't matter.
It's crazy.
I know.
Being a rugged, manly man has its price.
Yes, but I mean, they are so amazing that it doesn't even matter.
Come on.
My next investment will be the fire hose work pant.
Telling me, though, with the undershirts, don't you get like the hard deodorant sweat pits in there eventually? Where you got to toss a t-shirt because it just doesn't, it's not comfortable anymore?
Well, I mean, this has the wicking technology, doesn't it? The wicking?
I try to use that one t-shirt sparingly because, you know.
Because you spent so much goddamn money on it. He's got one of those t-shirts that you don't wear too much, Travis.
You think he'll get like two Under Armour shirts for the price of that one $37 undershirt.
But it's amazing.
What are you getting a pack of underwear for $30? What is it like?
No, four? It's not a pack. It's
no, it's
one
a pair of underwear, Travis.
One pair of underwear. Is
$30.
$30. Yes.
You are fucking kidding me.
You seen the Duluth commercials, Travis? They got like a guy who kind of sounds like Sam Neill or Sam Elliott. One of them was Elliot in Jurassic Park. I'm talking about the one that was in The Big Lebowski.
You're talking about Elliot, then.
Yeah, Rose Sam Elliott. He's like,
Roadhouse is
hey, nice. Come on down to Duluth. Do you got a dick like a claw hammer? Put it in my Chilio underpants.
The Armachillo.
They're only $37 for a pair of underpants, but you'll be sweet. A rugged, manly man in them. You could wrestle a bear in our undershirts.
Don't forget the ballroom.
Can't get anything at Duluth for like under $25.
See, I haven't been to the actual brick and mortar store yet.
Oh, you bought it online?
I bought it online.
Nothing says rugged manly man like online shopping.
I will not buy a pair of underwear unless I can try them on first.
What?
You can't try on underwear before you buy it, can you?
Why couldn't you
put on a pair of underwear in like a change room?
Well, you go ahead.
Women get to. Women
crazy.
Do that all the time.
Travis, no, who are you?
You grab a pack of Fruit of the Loom. I wear boxer briefs.
Travis, you don't do this. Travis, you don't do this.
You strip down from the waist down. You can leave your socks on if you want, and you try a pair of underwear on to see if they're comfortable.
No.
If they're not, you put the pair that you put on back in the bag,
gross.
And then you throw it right outside the room where there, you know, there's never a Walmart attendant in there, so you just toss it in the cart and you move on.
Napier, Travis is doing a bit right now, right? It's a bit.
I think Napier said he does the same
thing.
You don't try on
women
underpants.
Get to. Women go to these places where you buy $30, $40 underwear and you get to try it on beforehand. Like,
no.
That's a thing women get to do.
Do they put it on over their underwear? They put on a pair of underwear over their underwear, right?
No, they have a pad. They have like this cottony thing that they put on so they don't get their vagina juices all over the unsoiled underwear.
I can't get
it's like this. It is like it's like a reuse. It's almost like a really thin diaper that you can put on, and then you put those $40.
No, we don't. So, we don't do this.
Yeah, you guys know that ladies listen to the show, and they're gonna fact check you, right? You can't fool me with some shit. I got fact checkers.
Just because she buys her underwear from Target doesn't mean the high priced underwear is not like that.
Yeah, women. Yeah.
On your horizons, try a pair of underwear on in the changing room.
Travis, you open up the bag.
You know how it's got the one little piece of tape on? I don't know if you got what you guys
wear. You
can't
just like put your hand on it and be like, oh, that feels nice. Or,
see,
oh,
now
a
pair of underwear
nice.
Comes in one of four sizes. It's small, medium, large, extra large. You know what size you are. I wear large. I buy large underpants. When I go somewhere, I see a pair of underpants and it says large. Those are the underpants I'll get.
On the outside of the package, sometimes they have like new design. It'll say like new design. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to take a chance with the new design.
Mike, what if the underwear you expect to buy to fit you nicely doesn't encompass all of your pussy flaps? What are you going to do then, Mike?
If your roast beef hangers get pinched off between your thigh, you're going to want to make sure you know that before you spend $45.
Yeah, what if your flaps get caught?
For the greater good of,
humanity?
You know, my fellow man... Don't you just accept that you might buy underpants you don't like, and knowing that other people haven't worn your underpants?
Yeah, but
like,
let me
just made a like an agreement as a community not to wear each other's underpants.
Like, let me ask you this question: would you ever buy a pack of underwear that was retaped shut?
No.
No.
No. Of course you wouldn't, because that's what they do. You would never buy it. So when Walmart sees in their like weird return cart that shit that they're supposed to put back on the shelves, when they see the underwear ripped open, they don't put it back on the shelves. They take it to the returns area in the back so they can ship it back to the company.
So you're sticking it to the man. That's what you think of it more.
Well, no, I'm just trying to find some comfortable fucking underwear.
So would you go to the Goodwill and buy underwear, Travis? Because that's basically what you're doing to somebody else.
Like we said, I would never buy a package of retaped underwear. And if you do, you're taking that chance.
We were talking about mukbang, Travis.
Yeah,
how did we get to underpants and being a standing buncher?
Because that's
gross. I wanted to talk about mukbang and how crazy it is.
He came up with this idea of
all these people
watching people wipe.
They watch. Watching people wipe. Yeah, the wipe. We got to be innovative. We got to think of the next big thing in
our YouTube channel. It's going to be exclusively ass wiping.
Standard YouTube watching people do normal things that everyone does stuff.
Maybe we can have videos of watching Napier shave his back.
It
Liquid Lozenge,
be a long series.
Liquid Lozenge sent me a series one time of this guy who just ate a bag of baby carrots every day. Just every day, he posted a new video of him opening a fresh bag of baby carrots.
You know what's good with the baby carrots? A little sriracha.
On a baby carrot?
Yeah.
Like a ranch dip. Sure.
Yeah, ranch, like a veggie, like sriracha. A dill dip or something.
I'm
telling you. You put it on a baby carrot?
Yeah.
Seems crazy.
Seems crazy, but delicious.
I'm already thinking of good ideas for Stunt Month. But Stunt Month is going to be weird with just me and you sitting here, isn't it? Isn't Stunt Month going to be weird?
Yeah, who's going to periscope it?
Hey, I don't wash new clothes. That's what Anchor's saying is, when you get new clothes. Laura washes her new clothes.
I'm like 50-50.
I never wash them. The first time you wear it is the best wear before you put it through the washer and it gets all different. That first wear is when the colors are the brightest.
The first wear is a little itchy, so.
Yeah, but they say even like all denim manufacturers like suggest that you do not wash your jeans pretty much period, but at least wash or wear them a handful of times before you wash them.
Why?
Because
it gets the good wears out?
Well, no, it's supposed to shape the denim more to your body, and if you wash them before you shape it to your body, then it's not going to do that.
Yeah, that's Mario's favorite pants.
Denim.
Denim. Thanks, Drunk.
Denim.
Nice.
Pretty excited.
Back to the high school days.
Yeah. High five. Travis, last week I was talking about the Marlboro Miles honor system of making the world a better place.
You might not remember this because the Bears game was on, but
didn't remember. He was watching the Bears. I was thinking more about that, and I was trying to come up with more reinforcements to bring my point home.
So WFOD Miles.
And I was talking, I was looking around this week. I saw a bunch of those 16.9 bumper stickers that people have. And, they all just want to tell you that they ran a marathon so that people will think, oh, wow, those guys are really cool. They ran a marathon. Look at them.
16.9?
Yeah, the 16.9 bumper stickers, little ovals that says, hey, I ran a marathon.
But isn't a marathon like 23 miles or something like that?
What's the 16.9 mean?
Is it not 16.9?
No.
What's the little bumper sticker that you see all over the place that says 16.9 because you ran a marathon?
That's a Jesus. It's like a Bible thing.
No, it's not. Is you ran a marathon.
Here, I'll
Mike, if you saw it around here, it's a Bible thing.
Yeah, it's you read the Bible in 16 days and 9 hours.
26.2. That's what she put in the chat. Maybe it's a 26.2 bumper sticker. Guys, never mind. I was just going to say that, people would want to get their bumper sticker for doing good deeds.
You could probably just buy one, though, like a Jesus fish.
13.1! Drunk, are you looking it up?
I am.
Is it important to you to look up?
I do not want people to tell me about their marathon, though. It bothers me when people talk about
13.1 bumper stickers?
That you get for running a marathon. People. Fucking Tough Mudder, you dickheads.
Tough Mudder. Little ovals. You see the little marathon bumper stickers. Am I wrong?
I survived.
A man's tough heart. Mudder. A man's heart devilish his way, but the Lord.
Drunk, you're looking up the wrong fucking thing.
Proverbs 15:9.
You're looking up the thing that reinforces what you said, and not the thing It's what I'm talking about. You just want it to be what you said.
I didn't say
and
that.
And not what it actually goddamn is. I know what you're doing.
Is it a radio station, maybe?
Fuck you, drunk. Fuck you, drunk, and everyone who looks like you. Which is no one.
Can 16.9 be a radio station?
There's bumper stickers on people's cars. They're little ovals. And it's to symbolize that they ran either a marathon or a half marathon. And it's something point something.
Oh, we got oval location bumper stickers. It could be
never fucking mind. What I'm saying is, if you were to give someone the bumper sticker that, you know, said, hey, I earned a certain amount of points, you know, for doing a good job, then that would just make the world a better place because everybody would want to get their bumper sticker so they could put it on their car so everybody knew that they were, you know, really good people.
You have bumper stickers on your vehicle?
I have no bumper stickers on my vehicle, Travis, because they're stupid. And
I have one.
All they're doing is giving people more reason to dislike you. Rabbit Pounding says 26.2 or 13.1 are the two bumper stickers. You see them all the time. Drunk. They're little ovals.
What is your bumper sticker, Drunk?
It says back the badge.
Well, that's probably a good one to have.
Yeah, it's a very good one to have.
Yeah.
Then, I guess that's very smart. Blue Lives Matter.
Yep.
That'd be another good one, I suppose.
You know,
Napier, you got bumper stickers?
Nope, never had one because my fucking car is not my ballot box.
So you don't want one that says impeach Trump or Obama Biden 2012?
At WTF Spaghetti had one that said Mullet's Rock. That was my favorite bumper sticker.
The Rose McGowan got suspended from Twitter this week. Rose McGowan, the star of
Charmed
and
Planet Terror
and Jawbreaker.
Love that movie.
She's really into this Harvey Weinstein thing. She, you know, she's right in the thick of it. And she was suspended from Twitter. And Twitter explained. They said, "Oh, well, you know, while she's been on this mission of hers, she was like doxing people. She was like sending out people's home phone numbers and shit. And so like we suspended her because people probably don't want her to be posting their home phone numbers on Twitter. But people got in their head that Twitter suspended her for speaking the truth. You know, because that's against the Twitter rules, speaking the truth.
Yeah,
is it?
And so, you know, they explained the information is out there. Hey, she's posting people's home phone numbers. Can't do that. But it doesn't matter because, you know, people have in their head what they think the reason is. And so they'll just do it. Like you looking up the goddamn Bible verse thing because you're a fuck. They're pretty much the same thing. 26.2 or 13.1, drunk. You see, I see the 13.1 all the time. I thought it was, what did I say, 16.9?
Yeah.
I don't know. That must be some Freudian thing. Maybe 16.9 means something else, and I don't know.
It's half a liter. 16.9, like, ounce bottles. It's like a half a liter.
A half a liter?
Yep.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
That's what it meant? That's what I was thinking in my head?
Probably. You probably bought a Dr. Pepper earlier today, and it was in a half liter bottle, so that's what stuck.
So you do those, you get those 13.1 bumper stickers, and you say, hey, guys, you know, like, this one time, I, like, ran.
Half Boston marathon. Strong.
Doesn't say what your time was, just says that you did it.
Yeah, it could have took you 2 weeks, doesn't matter.
I can drive 13.1 miles.
Sports Fan Voice! If you're watching the games, it's time to start making money. MyBookie is the industry-leading website that hooks you up for all your betting needs. And with their great odds, fast payouts, and decades of experience.
Decades
of experience. You can bet with confidence. Your team doesn't even have to win. They just need to cover the spread. What are you waiting for? Lay down some cash and win big today. Or if you know your team sucks, do yourself a favor and bet against them. If they lose, you'll make money, and if they win, you'll still be happy.
Well, maybe you can be the good luck charm of the team. Put $5 against them all the time.
Because you're a hex.
Yeah. I mean, if you're just a walking bad luck charm, go the opposite route.
Check out mybookie.ag for yourself. They have in-game live betting and a mobile site that makes wagering on the go easier than ever. You can also check out their online casino if you'd rather just play a few hands of blackjack, roll the dice, and craps. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use promo code WFOD to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Excellent.
45, 22, 33, hut, hut, hut. You idiot. I didn't call for a handoff.
Strangely, we like all the same pop culture bullshit that you like.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
Not Safe for Water Coolers had a movie finish this weekend with Blade Runner 2049 pulling in 49 points with $61 million and an 81% Metacritic. Normally that would be disappointing, but in this round there's been so many awful performances it is actually one of the top performers so far. With a Marvel movie still on their plate, I'd say they're probably not going to come in last, even though their other three movies underperformed. We have two movies left that I'm not super optimistic about, and the Lotus cast has a PTSD movie or something left in Suburbicon, which is currently rocking a 43%. Stay tuned to see where we're headed from here.
And now, another wheelbarrow full of Dick's phone scam with the king of pranks, Travis Holt.
Hurricane Report.
Hi there. I wanted to come down for lunch with my adult son, and he was mentioning the fact that it was October. I was just wondering if you had that black hamburger back this year?
The whole hamburger?
The black one with the black bun?
No, not yet. I don't think we got them yet. I know they're going to be doing some.
Oh, it is coming back, though?
I know they got some new sandwich coming. Let me see, they got the, I can tell you which one. They got the homestyle cheeseburger coming back, and they got the... The Bacon King coming back.
Ooh, I like that one.
Double meat, man. I don't know, man. I think this should be starting next week.
Oh, great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I'll probably see you soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks radio program. Great name, asshole. Okay, there's one. Hi, everybody. This is Todd Glass, and you're listening to WFOD. Hi, this is Todd Glass, and whenever I'm on the road, I listen. I don't want to say that. It's so horrible.
Some call me crazy. That might be true. 'Cause if you take my hamburger helper, I don't know what I might do. Some call me crazy. That might be true. 'Cause if you take my hamburger helper, I don't know what I might do. See, I'm a fool for the food. If you take it, I don't know what I do. Flow sick just like the flu, like bad coughs and hot chews. I mean, I'm thinking about the hand. The meat sizzling in the pan. I know when I'm in the gym, I know that burger gon' go in. I know I'm about 6 foot with an appetite to match. Give me all that with the seasoning packs. Confessing my love on wax. Sit back and relax. I Netflix and chill with the meal.
Oh, guys, welcome back. Phone number contact show 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Drunk.
Yes, sir.
How are you, buddy?
I'm great.
You're doing all right?
I'm very good.
Are you very good?
Very good.
Or are you just sort of good?
I'm here with you on a Monday. That means I'm very good.
It's good.
Power of positive thinking. I like that very much.
Travis, did you see the Black Panther trailer?
I did not watch the newest one. There was kind of the teaser that just showed a bunch of Wakanda. So I'm done. I don't need to see any more of them. No.
Travis, the Black Panther trailer had some real aggressive hip hop music in it. And I noticed
how aggressive, Mike.
Well, you know, like the hardcore, you know, fat beats, you know.
You
hippie
mean Heck's gonna give it to you?
Yeah, you know, some hippity-hoppity music.
Oh, so you're not talking like the Ghetto Boys. You're talking about still mainstream aggressive hip-hop.
And I've noticed that's kind of a trend in movies. Like, there's a movie that just came out this past weekend about Thurgood Marshall. And it's about his lawyer days back in the 40s. And, you know, it's got a bunch of, it's, you know, a civil rights type of deal. You know what I'm talking about? Thurgood Marshall.
I know who you're talking about. I don't know what movie you're talking about.
There's a movie. It's out. It's about Thurgood Marshall.
Okay.
Drunk. Trailer. Aggressive rap music. About a guy in the 40s.
Yeah.
Like the American Gangster, the Denzel Washington movie, took place in 1968. Trailer Jay-Z music, a whole album of Jay-Z music.
Okay.
Why are they doing this? Why are they doing it?
They're trying to set the tone, I think, for the subject matter. Most of the other Marvel movies also have a bunch of that. Well, look at Guardians of the Galaxy. Some of the music they use in that
true.
Movie.
That's true.
You know, you I'm sure Black Panther will have the exact same score that all of the other Marvel movies
have. The Black Panther thing, it wasn't as much a thing as I didn't understand why the Thurgood Marshall movie needed to have
that one doesn't really music.
It takes place in the 40s.
Right.
You get some Rhapsody in Blue, you know what I'm saying? You get some swinging stuff. I don't understand why you would go with the hip-hop route for a movie about Thurgood Marshall. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, although, I mean, when you think about, like, The Matrix takes place in the future, and not only is there a bunch of techno in that soundtrack, you also have, like, I don't know, Deftones and shit like that. So, I mean, they bring that, you know, they got that from the computer, the Matrix create that music for them to have going on. I don't know.
But, I mean, if you're making something historical, it doesn't – I mean, this is based on real people. It doesn't make sense to me to have a hip-hop soundtrack.
And there's probably not one hip-hop song in that movie. I'm sure it's all scored to be reflective of the emotional impact that the movie is supposed to be making. They just grabbed some random hip-hop song and said, hey, doesn't this look cool?
This looks really cool, this movie about –
Thurgood Marshall, right?
It has Josh Gad in it. Nothing says hip-hop like Josh Gad.
They really had to offset the fact that Josh Gad was even in that movie by adding, like, aggressive hip-hop.
I don't know. Travis, what's going on with you, man?
I just got back into town yesterday. I was on vacation all week last week and didn't really do anything but hang out. But we went down to Madison, and we saw the Lucas Brothers, comedy show on Saturday night. They were very good.
Are they monotone through the whole thing? They just kind of go, hey, man, hey, oh, hey, man, hey, man.
There is actually a lot of that, but, the one thing that I really, really enjoyed is they did, this bit about imagining what the call from Michael Jordan to Charles Barkley was to get him to be in Space Jam. and the fucking payoff is so funny. So I would imagine it'll be on an upcoming special if it's not already, because it was a very, very strong bit. So that was good. The only thing that sucked about that was we kind of got lost downtown, even though I've done downtown Madison a bunch. But it's kind of like around the Capitol building, downtown Madison is kind of like an endless maze of hell. Made up of like loops and one ways, so you can never get to where the fuck you want to go. And at one point we were looking for the comedy club after we parked in the parking garage. At one point, I think we were standing directly in front of it and didn't notice that it was behind us and kept walking around the block to try to find it. So that wasn't, That wasn't great.
Did you get lost in the ghetto of Madison?
No, the ghetto is a little bit further away.
Okay. You know they can't see you when you do the air quotes.
The Madison ghetto.
Yeah, but you're doing air quotes and we're doing an audio podcast.
Let's just figure the air quotes are in there anytime somebody says ghetto at all going forward on this show. But there is a sketchy part of Madison. There was just last year, there was like a shootout in their West Side Mall. I don't even remember what it was about or if anybody died, but there was in like the middle of the day, like multiple people shooting at each other. So it's not a great place. I think the best part of that Lucas Brothers show, though, was the featured act who came out of kind of nowhere and was this really awkward dude who kept like staring at the wall and like putting like massaging the wall and shit. But he was very funny. And I would tell you what his name was if I could remember what it was.
So like he seemed uncomfortable and that's where he drew his humor from.
Well, it was a blend of super confidence in the kind of disgusting, sexual, weird content he was delivering, and also his awkwardness about talking about like fucking a pillow full of Jell-O or something. You know what I mean?
Did he have kind of a high voice?
No, he had like remember Adam Conover, like his like whooshy hair. He had that and the same kind of glasses too, and wore like a funky shirt. But there, no, it wasn't a very high voice.
Yeah, the funky shirt.
Right. Yeah, like a funky, you know, like a funky shirt. I think I've seen you wear funky shirts like that, actually. Really designed up, button up the front.
Yeah. And a whooshy hair.
Oh, Toller Wolf was his name. I actually tweeted at the comedy club to say, hey, what was that guy? Who's that guy?
And they told
me, yeah, so.
Toller Wolf?
Toller Wolf.
That is a new age kind of name if I've heard one. You think that's a stage name, or you think that somebody named their kid Toller?
I would like to say it's probably his real name, because apparently he came up in Madison and moved to Chicago, and I can't imagine you'd be able to change your name, come back to your home club, and you know, be billed as something else. But I don't know, maybe.
Maybe. You know, there was a big news story about a Swedish journalist that went missing. She was doing a story about some entrepreneur that was building a submarine and like was never heard from again. And so they asked a lot of questions. They're like, you know, hey, submarine guy, where'd this gal go that went out on the submarine with her? And he said, oh, well, about that. She died. Like a hatch fell on her. And she got hit in the head, and then she was dead, and so I just buried her at sea. And people were kind of like, oh, that's kind of weird, guy. You know, you just bury some gal at sea.
Right.
You know, that's not the way things work. And then, like, her body parts started washing up on the shore. They, like, found her torso, and they're like, oh, hey, guy. This gal, like, you know, she was dismembered. And we just found her torso. So, like, did you cut her into pieces before you buried her at sea? This all seems kind of weird. And
blame it on the sharks.
Yeah, it was shark eater.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting in that it's like not at all interesting, because it seems pretty cut and dry that homeboy, you know, chopped this bitch up and threw her off his submarine.
Was he Swedish too?
Yeah, he's a Swedish entrepreneur, and he cut up this gal, and they found her head. They found her head, and it didn't have any, damage to it, like, you know, like a hatch fell on it.
Gotcha.
So how do you don't get away with that, though, do you? You don't get away with a...
If you do, that would have been a sweet defense for Dexter if he would have ever gotten caught tossing all of those random body parts over the side of his boat.
Be like, oh, yeah, they were out on this boat with me.
Burial at sea.
Door closed on them, and they died. And so I just buried them at sea, you know, because that's what you do. That's what he said. He's, I don't want a dead body on my submarine. That's what he said. That was what he actually said. Man, I don't want a dead body on my submarine.
Well, in his defense, if I owned a submarine, I also would not want a dead body on it.
That's true. I don't think you'd want a dead body in your anything.
No, certainly wouldn't.
Like, how far away was he from, like, a person who could take the body?
It couldn't have been all that far because, you know, all the body parts, they're turning up.
Probably, yeah, I guess not too damn far.
But if you're going to kill a gal on your submarine, why would you kill... I guess the interview wasn't going good or something. Like, why would you kill, like, a journalist that people know that she's doing a story on you and going out on your submarine?
Because it would be ridiculous to even think that you'd kill somebody who everybody knew was going to be with you.
So that's your alibi, is that, like, it would just be too ridiculous to kill somebody this way?
Right, of course.
Like, guys, I built a submarine. I'm obviously not stupid.
Yeah, why would I ever kill this broad?
That's the best defense I can think of, is that...
I can't think of anything else.
It would just be way too stupid to have killed her.
Yep.
And that just could be what you go on. Be like, guys, seriously, like, she was out on my submarine, and everybody knew she was out on my submarine. It would be retarded for me to kill her. And I'm not retarded. And that's my defense.
You might be retarded.
I might be retarded?
No, that guy.
You think he might be a retard?
He might be.
Come on, guys. I'm Bill Cosby. Why would I ever drug somebody and take advantage of
this? But if you think about it, that is a pretty solid defense. Like,
do you remember I used to do all those Puddin' Pop commercials? Come on.
And you know, like, honestly, like, when that first started happening, I think a lot of people thought that. It'd be like, come on, guys. Why would Bill Cosby do this? Some of these gals have to be fibbing, right? Because
yeah, I thought for me it was like the 26th accuser before I finally was like, yeah, maybe there's something to this.
Yeah, and that's the best defense is like, you know, I'm Bill Cosby. Why would I do this? And like, you know, this the Harvey Weinstein thing going on is like, you know, that guy's kind of a creep though.
Yeah, that makes more sense. That guy's a fucking real schlub.
He looks bad. The thing that's getting me about the Harvey Weinstein thing is like everybody keeps pulling other people into it and saying, you know, oh, well, you know, you had a professional relationship with this guy. Obviously, you knew he was a rapist. You know, like they're pulling poor Matt Damon and
Matt Damon,
old Benny Affleck,
and George Clooney. And they're saying, George Clooney, obviously, you knew this guy was raping gals. And they're citing people making jokes about, you know, him being gross and being, you know, and don't you think it's more than likely that like they kind of knew that the guy was a dickhead and they probably knew that he was kind of inappropriate and abrasive, but they didn't know that he was like raping gals.
Yeah, and jerking off in front of them and whatnot. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, and I understand the victim mentality is you don't want people to know that this happened to you or you feel like you did something wrong. You know, you have all of the things in your head that say, this is why I shouldn't tell people that this happened. But then you blame all these like ancillary characters like Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and George Clooney and say, why didn't you say something? It's like, no, it literally happened to you. Why didn't you say something or talk to somebody else that might have also been affected by it? And then you could say something together. Like I said,
right. And you know, the funny thing is there's probably like plenty of unfamous gals that said no. And we just
right.
don't know about because right.
you know, they didn't. Yeah. Yeah. They're just like,
and you know, we have the stories that we have, but like to imagine that, you know, like Matt Damon knew that he was raping gals and was helping him cover it up.
Right.
I mean, come the like, fuck yeah, on.
I'll help you out if you just produce my next movie.
Right, it'll right, right. I mean, like, it's
hard to believe.
I have friends that are kind of douchebags.
Right.
And honestly, like, if I found out that some of them, you know, were into some, like, really gross shit, I wouldn't be super surprised. But I don't know for a fact that they do anything.
Right, unless you see it with your own eyes, why would you ever go and say, and who would you even talk to about it?
Right.
Like, who would Matt Damon or Ben Affleck or George Clooney, who would they have talked to about it? That's what I'm curious about. If none of the victims could figure out who to say something to that wouldn't, you know, quote unquote, ruin their lives, who are Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, and George Clooney going to talk to?
And keep in mind, we're not even talking about his friends.
No.
These are like people that he financed movies.
Business associates.
Yeah. I mean, it's like your work buddies. And it's not even your work buddies because they don't really like work together.
Right.
He signed a check to make their movies and they went and made the movie. You know, I mean, it's like they're not friends. Matt Damon and Harvey Weinstein don't hang out.
Right.
You know, like Harvey Weinstein went to Hillary Clinton fundraising dinners and Hillary Clinton came over to his table and said, "Hey, Harvey, thank you for writing a check," and then walked away.
Yeah,
it's not like Harvey Weinstein and her are vacationing in the Hamptons together.
But we got to address the fact that he wrote a check to Hillary Clinton one time.
I mean, like Napier. Napier.
He quietly bowed out.
I'm waiting for you to get to what you're going to ask me.
I mean Napier, and you say, yes.
No, you say Napier, and then you say the thing you're going to say, and then I say something. Mike, Napier. I say this. God damn it, Mike.
How's that pizza, Napier?
The pizza was fucking amazing.
Did you win your last couple games of Hearthstone?
Napier, you're not
playing Hearthstone.
You work with people that might be kind of undesirable, right? You work with probably some real shitheads.
I wouldn't say real shitheads. I mean, every office has a shithead.
But like, I mean, you don't know what the people that you work with do in their free time.
No, it's none of my goddamn business.
And you might have a general idea that some of those people are kind of inappropriate to where you could probably make jokes and say, oh, yeah, this guy, he says stupid shit all the time. But, I mean, you don't, like, know that he's going home and raping gals.
Know that he's what?
Did Mike bow out?
I think Mike bowed out.
Jesus fucking Christ.
You fall asleep, buddy?
So what I'm saying is the gal out on the submarine.
In honor of Spooky Month and to celebrate Samhain, I've decided once again to bring our listeners back to the edge of the other world. I've scoured through hundreds of hours of interviews and read countless documents to break down a few of the most haunted places. This year, we travel again to the other side of the world, but this time to experience the terrors of the Orient. I'll feature one of these spooky sites each week, and together we'll figure out what makes each of these locations so disturbing. We'll take the listener on a tour of those devilish destinations so they don't have to experience the terror firsthand. Or I'll feature them so they can travel to one of these spooktacular sites at their own risk. This week I bring you Ghost Hill in Penang, Malaysia.
So what makes this one so scary?
It's haunted.
But you said you were going to tell us why.
By ghosts.
It's in Malaysia, drunk. It's haunted.
And it's haunted.
Aren't we like huge in Malaysia?
We are. Yeah, we are. We're pretty big in Malaysia, yeah.
That's awesome.
Most of our downloads come from Malaysia. I think they got posters of us hanging up.
They better.
There's flat drunks all over Penang, Malaysia.
That's what's up.
Like the Kings of Leon are like really, really big in Europe. Like way bigger than they are here. They were big in Europe way before they hit here.
Right.
And or
the Hoff in Germany.
Yep, Hoff in Germany.
Bloodhound gang is like really, really big overseas.
Yeah.
They're not as big here as they are over there.
Hey now, you and me ain't nothing but mammals.
Yeah, like over there they sell out arenas. The Bloodhound Gang.
No, I'm sure they could sell out an arena or two here.
Maybe if they were like on the bill with like 10 other bands.
Guys,
Does that have to be a big arena? They could probably sell out the family arena, right?
Only a couple more weeks to get your flat drunk submissions in. We've gotten some good ones.
We've gotten some bad ones.
Gotten some bad ones. Gotten some good ones. Val was sending us some flat drunks with her morning coffee and with her evening alcoholic beverages. And
that I know for a fact she has every single night.
Every single night?
And like, what, in the morning. Like,
Tell the listeners what makes a good drunk photo as opposed to a bad drunk photo.
Mike, do you remember when I said that they'd get my vote if they posted anything like related to horror, especially since we're in like spooky month? Not one.
Yeah.
I'm not voting this year, so it's up to you guys.
I like a flat drunk out in public. Extra points if for boldness. You know,
if there's a celebrity in it, even better.
Yep.
If flat drunk's just in your house on your couch, it's not really within the spirit of the contest. I still like getting them. It's still fun.
Absolutely.
But that's how we see him all the time, is sitting on the couch.
Right. So, guys. Spooky month continues. Woo woo. Right. And I mean, like, I'm just saying, if you're gonna murder a gal,
don't do it on a submarine.
Don't do it on like the submarine that you.
Or make sure she's not a journalist.
And make sure that people like don't know that she's going out on the submarine with you. Basically. I mean, if you're the guy that's making a submarine, like, what do you need to be murdering gals for? What are you doing? What are you doing?
That's just his thing, man. You know, everybody's got their thing. He probably built that submarine specifically to kill a gal on the open sea.
Like, I need the perfect thing to kill gals on.
And building a submarine is that thing.
They really should have known not to send a journalist on there that was a woman when the title of the submarine was Smashing Pussy, you know, and Chopping Up Body Parts.
The Smashing Pussy Express. Set sail on the Smashing Pussy Express. Napier, do you have like a... pick of the week, something you want the people to know about, something going on in your world, drunk Napier, either of you, both of you, give your flat drunk.
Pick of the week. Do it at the same time. 1, 2, 3, go.
You know what I've been having like a. I feel like my breaths aren't like as like my breaths seem kind of less and less. You know what I mean?
You having a stroke?
No, like when I breathe in, like it seems like, you know, if I'm actually like thinking about it, you know, I can breathe in all the way, but like, you know, my normal subconscious breaths like aren't as deep. And like when I breathe out, I feel like, you know, I used to be able to breathe out more than I'm breathing out now.
You got that COPD?
What is that?
Oh, no, it's the morbid obesity creeping in.
Emphysema, perhaps?
Oh, is that just part of getting fat? Is, like, your lungs?
Cancer.
Yeah, dude, you get fatter, your chest weighs more, your lungs can't bring as much in because you're fat.
Is your wife sitting on your chest while you're sleeping in the evening?
No. You ask her? No, like, I just feel like you know, my normal breath is, like, I'm not doing as good as I did.
I remember that. I used to get that once in a while when I smoked the old Camel Lights.
But I don't smoke.
Maybe you should start.
Is your wife blowing cigarette smoke in your mouth while you're sleeping?
When I am thinking about breathing, I feel like I can inhale and exhale normally. But like when I don't think about breathing, I feel like I'm not breathing right. And do you think that I'm just going to forget to breathe eventually?
Maybe you should just go to the doctor.
And just stop?
Ask them.
Yeah, you will definitely. I think that for sure. It might be even tonight.
Yeah,
what,
dude.
What if I if I go to sleep and my body just doesn't remember it's supposed to breathe?
That means you're dreaming about Freddy Krueger and he's choking you dead to death.
Do you guys think about dying?
Yeah, consistently.
Like how weird it would be to just be dead?
Most definitely.
And hey, we all have dreams we look forward to.
if it hurts.
Existential dread. Yeah.
All right, so Drunk's pick of the week is Kevin Can Wait Tuesday nights on CBS. So check it out.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good segue.
Yeah, don't worry. If you didn't like it before, they killed that broad, so it's like a new show.
Anchor suggests that it is awake apnea, which is like sleep apnea, but when you're awake. I think he made that up. I think he's fucking with me.
Probably.
I think it's like restless leg syndrome where you can't stop your leg from like bopping around. They probably make a pill for it that might cause death.
Or, you know,
Napier.
You're like, fucking, what?
Pick of the week.
My pick of the week is Thor.
Do it.
Just like the idea of Thor or
Ragnarok?
The movie.
But you haven't seen it yet because it's not out yet.
No, so I haven't. But I'm,
Dark World.
I'm really looking forward to it, and I think everybody should see it, you know, when it's out later.
Hulkamania, baby.
Travis, pick of the week.
The week is, pick of the week is The Babysitter.
God, it was so good, Travis!
On Netflix, oh my god, that Samara Weaving. Samara Weaving is like my new favorite person that exists. She is... Not only is she gorgeous, but like her acting, just the chemistry that she had with a boy, first of all, but just cute and cool and
crazy
like,
eyes. Crazy eyes. Looks like she'd be wild in the sack, Travis.
Yes, like some of those just looks towards the camera or towards different, just, oh, it's fucking sold. Great, gory, fun, violent, kind of dumb movie that I wanted to watch immediately when I was done.
You said it's called Babysitter?
The Babysitter. It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix exclusive.
I'll let my lady know. She likes scary shit like that.
It was just a fun fucking movie, Drew. I watched that and I saw Happy Death Day in the theaters. I watched them back-to-back days. Both just two fun, dumb horror movies. Like, they're pretty fucking great.
I just found out today that Happy Death Day was actually written by a comic book writer 10 years ago, and it's taken that long to get that sucker produced.
Travis, you been doing a scary movie per day this month?
I was on vacation, like I said last week, and like the first couple of days of October, I didn't get any in, and then I was like powering down 2 to 3 a night for a while. So I think I'm caught up like the 16th, but I'm not sure how it is, because I like watched obviously The Babysitter, Cabin Fever 2 for the first time, and a handful of other like really obscure horror flicks. One was called The House is October Built, which I had in my list.
They're
for,
making
like, the
a
super
sequel.
Yeah, it's like out like really soon. And I think the only reason I actually watched it, because it was in my list for a super long time, is I thought like Jay Adson had Facebook somebody about it, and I asked him if it was any good. He's like, ah, it's hit or miss. I'm like, oh, it's good enough for me from him. And watched it that very same night, and I liked it very much. It was super fucking creepy.
Guys, we'll be back. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for hanging out. Have a good week.
Titty sprinkles. And also, that's my mama.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Listening.
Join us live every Monday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. Listen to our back catalog on iTunes, Stitcher, or our website, WFODix.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WFODix. Give us a call at 636-487-HAND or email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Special thanks as always to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls Anya, and Jody B. If you like what you heard, tell a friend. Be back next week, motherfucker.
Hey guys, Mike here. We have a Patreon now. I know. You've changed, Mike. Look, we're not going to make a thing about this. The show is happening whether you contribute money to it or not. But if you want to throw a buck or two at the dudes who make that thing you like, there it is. We're rewarding you, too, with 5-minute shows about whatever you want, shout-outs, stuff like that. Go to WFODix.com and find it in the Extras tab. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes, too. Fuck. I have changed.